Everyone, are you feeling good today? That was Arabica, the Feel Good Mix by Marco May. Welcome, everyone, and welcome, everyone listening via iTunes and the archives as well. I hope we're live on sound. And welcome, Paulo. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mish.
Good.
I'm ready to go.
Are you ready to go meet? I feel like I've gone
it's
from zero to
wild energy. I don't know if everybody's been feeling what I'm feeling, but there's almost like days I get up and do. It actually feels like I do not recognize this dimension.
Well, we are since October in a totally. We've been edging into it, but we're in a totally new energy pattern, and it is. It really is that blend of Uranus, Saturn. It really is, it's very electrical. Uranus is coming through. It's a very electrical pattern. And how many are feeling that? If you're feeling it or you want to talk, you want to share, you want to reading, the number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad to be heard and connect and chat. Amazing energy that we're all co-creating or part of and are witnessing, I guess is the best way to put it, right? I don't know how you would describe it, but it can be very inspiring, very motivating. It can also bring a lot of anxiety.
It can, because it's very unsettling. There's an unsettling feeling about it. Being that it is electrical,
it hasn't got this
constant beat, but it's got like two or three fast beats and then a slow beat. It's almost like it's like the energy is rock and rolling with our system. You got to give us a beat. But if you find yourself at odds with it, and then you can go into any place. You can go into fear. You can go into what's going on. And I feel like if you just kind of step back and allow that beat to play out, see the pattern of it, you'll feel where you can come in on. It's like entering a dance.
Oh, that's a very good way to, Paula, what you just said, it kind of reminds me as when you do go dancing, like you go to a club dancing, and some people aren't on beat. Sometimes the beat is weird and you have to just kind of find it or sit it out. Sometimes you just have to sit out, take a breather, rest, meditate, get still, or take a hike, a walk. I do a lot of walking and a lot of movement, and I found myself even with this energy pattern doing even more movement. And sometimes that's moving, I find moving away from something that I've either been focused on or working on, maybe a book, a movie, even if you've been feeling like, those of you doing a lot of inner work on yourself, sometimes just leaving that for a bit and, finding your own rhythm in that. That's really good, Paula. What are some things that you've been finding your own rhythm in this?
Well, it's actually, I have been a dancer, I used to teach dance, and so it's like in my knowledgeable area in my head, knows exactly, can feel out the rhythms, you feel out the patterns, And I've been doing this like most of my life, so it's a tool I use. Where if I go, say I'm traveling and I go to a foreign city, I sit there and watch the rhythm of the city, because it tells you a lot. Oh, here's this hub where everybody's communicating. Oh, here's this going on. Oh, here's many layers. And you get to see, how do I fit in? Where do I want to fit in? Where do I want to add my energy? So it's like a dance. When you're entering a dance, you don't want to enter the dance on an offbeat, because the person, you know, if you're schooled in dance, you'll know that they're using their left leg when you're using your
right,
right leg. And it'll be a little
five,
bit of clash there.
5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, you've got to find.
Exactly.
Right, let's go.
It's so true. So you've got to kind of watch the world and the rhythm of the world. And we are, and I mean totally the world. And you can kind of step in and see that, okay, a huge ocean liner went down in Italy. How is that going to affect me today? What kind of information is that? La, 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 la. You collect the energies of what the world is doing, and you see where are you? How do you want to, apply to it? Because each one is a brand new beginning, and you're creating that entrance each time. So if you're creating it with a bummer, a headache, you partied too much last night, that's what you're entering in. That's your equation for today, and it's okay. You know, it isn't a judgment, but just know this: know that you're going in on that one today, and see what that brings about. And it's about observance. Just observe the rhythm. I'm going to put that in the chat. Observe the rhythm.
Yeah, I would say observe. Yeah, I love that. And make sure, I love what you're saying, Paulo, because I agree. Make sure you're tapping in to your own rhythm and not necessarily getting swept away with other rhythms, because we have our rhythm within the cosmic rhythm. You know, it's so important.
Do you know, there was one thing when in the 70s, I believe, I was hanging out with musicians, and one musician, very famous musician, Dylan, and he used to live across from a house I was sitting at, and one day I ran into him, and I asked him, I said, what do you attribute to your success? He said, he gets up in the morning, and he hears his rhythm. He hears his rhythm of his body, and he plays it, and it comes out as a tune.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, wow, you're actually playing the essence of who you are.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible insight and an incredible thing to share with me.
Beautiful, beautiful. But I feel, as energetic beings, as tonal beings, we are meant to, connect in to our signature frequency through sound, through tone, through movement. And I really feel that that's what this energy pattern is also really requiring of people, is, you know, to move in whatever way you can. See where you're stagnant, you know, where are you stagnant? Where do you need to move more? And sometimes that's even just doing something differently, you know. A lot of times people think it has to be something sweeping, but it doesn't necessarily have to be something sweeping, you know?
No, it could be very minor. It could be very minute. When you're doing healing work in the 80s, we were doing healing work. We were doing more of the Reiki, but we weren't calling it Reiki. I don't know what we were calling it. Energy work.
Energy work. There's so many types.
Yeah.
You blend it all.
Yeah, if you move in iota, there was a lot of I used to teach different classes of people, and I used to get this question a lot. How do you, when you're receiving energy, how do you not let that come into your realm so that you can stay strong and work with the person in energy that they need and not pick up theirs? And I remember back in the 80s again, where another teacher of mine, and he said that, you know, if you're aware of this energy exchange, just move an iota, move a little finger, move your eyeball, change your vision, and you're out of that immediate energy. And it's so kinetic, it's so electrical, that's how quick it is. And we have to attune ourselves to this new knowledge of this new energy. How do we electrify it? It's electric. It's an electric dance. It's an electric rhythm.
I don't know. There's people not able to hear in the chat. We've got a question. What if you're empathetic, if you're an empath? And I just put it, I am also an empath. But if you're an empath, you know, a great teacher of mine said, you know, many, many years ago, if you're psychic, if you're in tune, that's not going to diminish. You have to learn how to deal with it. And one way is to find the, again, connect into your own personal rhythm. You can use your intuition, your spiritual discernment to see if something is, if it's your energy or what part of it is your energy, what part of it is your energy or what part of it is those that are around you. Not sure why people aren't able to hear in the chat. I'm going to open a different chat box. Sometimes that helps.
They're not hearing in the chat?
No, somebody, it worked then. Okay, let's.
Okay. You know, empathy, if you look at the word, to me is to employ or use the path. Use your way. To be empathetic, to me, is to be like you're in it. You're just in the field. Of whatever you're feeling, and it's, as you said, it does not diminish because you're in it. And
yep.
Once you're, it's either you're on the bus or you're not on the bus when you're empathetic. And what I was saying earlier is, if you're feeling an exchange of energy that you don't really, you can feel that, you know, I don't really want to pick this up right now. You can change that. You can move this or flow into a different electrical field. And especially now, and move this. And there's many, many teachers like Michelle and people who teach you how to maneuver through this time frame. This is a time frame of learning how to dance, learning how to maneuver. It's going to be very relevant. I mean, we're speaking it now, but I mean in 10, maybe less than 10 years, all people will be
living it. Yeah, living it.
And
the other thing about being an empath, is really it's the ability to feel or apprehend, understand what others are feeling or going through, or we actually feel that. And we are all, there is no separation anyway, except vibrationally. And it's really not a separation, but a separating out. So I like what you're saying, Paul, because you can attune to different frequencies. But sometimes also it's like being in traffic. If you're stuck in traffic, the thing to do is not resist it. And this is what I find with many empaths. What they tend to do is want to resist or stop what they're feeling. And you can't have it both ways. You can't be really open psychically or empathetically and then resist what you feel. You feel what you feel. So the whole idea, in a sense, is not it is to find the way to flow through it. What makes the feelings more intense is when we resist them. So if we go back into that center point or we're able to connect into that center point, whatever we're feeling will naturally balance out. So it's kind of counterintuitive because a lot of times when we feel something that we don't want to feel or we think is bad, we want to stop it. However, in order to raise our vibrational frequency, you know, by getting to that center point, we actually need to go into that. We naturally, and I actually talk about this and have this on my the YouTube channel Light Being 21. There's some ascension meditations that go into this and why this works. Because when we're resisting something or trying to stop it, what's happening is we're moving into separation. So, yeah, it's Sync 31 is putting, I had this lesson this week about not wanting to feel feeling. And that, oh, my God, it's so true. That's what it is. I'm with you. I feel something sometimes, or especially abuse, or I see mistreatment of a person or, you know, anybody, a baby or an animal being, you know. I just go
that's
there,
difficult.
You know.
Yeah. You know, one of the sayings in early 70s, 80s, again, was what you resist will persist.
Mm-hmm. Or intensify is another,
and
intensify, you know.
Exactly. It builds.
Yeah.
It builds. And, you know, a lot of the times of the, well, it's always going on, but consistently you hear about aneurysms, how people, how their hearts literally explode. And that's resisting. That's resisting an emotion. That's physically resisting emotion is an aneurysm, at least in my interpretation. I'm not an MD, but.
I would agree. Light Mermaid, I'm just trying to love all I encounter, though. Tough, though. Well, see, I don't see any separation. To me, everything is love. Even the most heinous crime, it's a different degree or different form or expression of. My perception is just be where you are. If you are upset with somebody, be upset. You know, I'm trying to myself in my path is to get out of the labeling as much as I can. Because I think if you just go with what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and somehow let the process run through, if it's taking too long, see how can you bring yourself back to that center point, you know, or, you know, what am I not wanting to feel here, or what am I really upset with? Most of the time when people are upset, they're getting triggered from something that's happened way back when. You know, it's not what's in the present, you know, moment, or rarely or very little of what's in the present moment. So I find just, and I do all the time, just by seeing, you know, if I'm hurt or I feel rejected or upset, or do I feel someone's putting me down, or they didn't understand me, they misunderstood me, see, okay, where have I experienced that before? Where have I felt that before? How have I done that before? And allow, oh, I see where that came from. And then to go, okay, that's their experience. I think we've learned so much, unfortunately, and a lot of this I think started in probably the late 70s and in 80s in a certain type of therapies where to really try to change people. But when we're trying to overly change people, we're taking the focus off of ourselves, our path, our healing, and what we're not doing. I've just found I have much less conflict in my life doing that. There's really not too much left to say or request of people when you come from that space, because you see really that people are doing, in a way, the best they can. Sometimes it's a best that we like, and sometimes it's not a best that we like. One of the things I want to touch on, and then we're going to definitely get to readings, and at the 12:45 hour, we have this amazing astrologer, Gail Powell. She's been on the program before, and actually we're going to be diving into this, talking about undoing, redoing, reworking relationships. We've got Mars retrograde, Venus retrograde, we've got the square in Uranus and Aries coming more exacting. So we're really going to be diving into the energies of 2012 and what does it mean for us individually, personally, but also in regards to relationship. And I'm sure Gail has other goodies. We'll just see what unfolds. If you do have a question or a comment or you'd like a reading, the number is 347-539-5122, and to press 1 on the keypad. I feel a lot of this energy shifting. In the chat. You'll be able to call in and ask questions, yeah. Is really trying to get us this house cleaning out of 3D, 4D dramas. And, of course, that fourth dimension being the etheric plane and the third and fourth is the astral plane. You know, it overlaps. There's not a strict demarcation line. Where you're finding drama in your life, where you are trying to control others, change others, get them to do what you think is right, overly, you know, you're allowed to put your requests in or ask, but where you find yourself doing that too much, you're not stepping into your gifts, your path. So this energy, it's very sharp. I call it an exacting energy. It's very exact. It has a bite to it. If you lean over on one side, cross some boundaries, you're going to get snapped.
Quickly.
Right.
The windows are sharp. The reaction is direction of energy is electric. It's almost like putting your little finger in a socket. You're going to feel it right away. But, you know, it's interesting. There is a loop about what we've regressed and what we repressed, too. And it's interesting. I've been observing the new male, since I am in my male body suit in this lifetime.
Yeah.
I've observed that, you know, these new males, these younger males, have not been taught to repress their emotions. And a lot of them are all good. They're good fathers now. They are with their babies. You see them walking on the island here. There's such a connection between father and baby. And in my time, and I do sound like an elder here, which I am, but in my time, the fathers were working. The fathers were not with the children as much. And there were certain fathers that were, but I'm just going on a regular general idea of energy. We were taught not to cry, not to show emotion. And I'm so glad that has been lifted, that women and mothers are now allowing their children to cry and then to get mad and then have time out or whatever they do. But I just wanted to kind of point that out.
Mm. Yeah, well, and I think that, again, that's also, you know, Aquarius is very androgynous, amorphous. It likes to morph. And so we're being required to do that. In fact, you can see people that have a lot of Aquarius in their chart. They are morphable. It could be male or female or touch. You could see both energies or physicalities within them. So I feel there is this, and that's that unity consciousness, you know, where we're being called to play out and express less and less of the extremes, I guess, is one way to look at it. Okay, again, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to be heard. We've got a caller, 212. Get to some of the calls. 212-579, welcome to Awakening.
Hi. Hello, hello. Blessings to both of you.
Hello.
My name is Annalisa.
Annalisa, hi, Annalisa.
I do feel the energies quite intensely, and I'll get an inspiration for an idea for a project and then totally lose it. And I know I am empathic and I feel the world, but I'm having a hard time following through on my own vision and moving forward on it. And I just wanted to ask if you guys get anything on the soul's true priorities for this timeline. I you know, had an experience where I jumped timelines, and I'm wondering why I'm on this timeline now. What really is important, because there's part of me that's not really sure what's important at this point, why I'm here.
Why you're here on this dimension, this timeline?
This timeline. I was on a timeline in the 80s until the late 80s where everyone was ascending very quickly. It was like no resistance. And then I shifted, and in my knowing, this is a slowpoke timeline.
Well, the thing is, we're on all timelines anyway, so what's happened is your consciousness is now focused on this area, and similar to emotional development, a lot of times we come back to and there's a lot of that right now. The timelines are beginning to, they're jumping, but they're actually also converging. We're having more awarenesses. So coming back and picking up what was missed or needed or necessary, or, you know, it's like running out the door to go
somewhere. Why did I miss?
Wait a minute, I didn't finish. I didn't finish. Or sometimes there's something, see, there you did. Yeah. Sometimes it's not, you know, I was going to say, or bringing something because you just want to. Maybe it's not something that you, it can be something that you miss, but it can also, could you turn your radio down or your internet so we don't have the delay?
It's off. It's actually off.
Okay, we're getting it from somewhere. Okay. Or coming back around to just get something that you may want, but it may not be something physical or something within your mental awareness. It may be an energy. So a lot of what's happening right now is we're reconnecting with certain aspects of our own energy pattern. That could be through people, that could be just energetically. So it's not, because we're energetic beings, it's not always something that's going to be very overt. Okay, it can be an energetic quality that you're reconnecting with.
I thought it was a developmental phase or energy, some pattern I need to develop or hone. I was just wondering if you guys got anything specific on it.
I get that it's very, you're kind of like this, you are, this energy of a kind of iridescent moth. And that means that you're accepted, you got it early in your life that all is love. You got this, you know, this major wisdom about the whole realm of who you are. And then you began to close down. You came into body. I think this is kind of a similar area of energy that we all went through. And we came into our bodies and knew this fullness. And we allowed that fullness to kind of waken us and bring us in. Now the energy has brought us, and we've done this major healing work, and we're now brought into our bodies, and it feels like a different dimension because we, as Michelle said, we are picking up and healing different little areas. They're not necessarily connected, so it doesn't make a quote sense to us. It feels like a different dimension, but we're healing things that will have kept us so grounded that now we're entering a new level of vibration. It is all one, and we are not aware of it or not familiar with it at that time. I feel this iridescent moth has reached the summit, and now it's the strength of that has brought you back to Earth again, and you are collecting.
And the one thing I feel with right, Annalisa, is for you, it's to move a bit out of the mental realm. It's more about expressing it now and living it. In other words, to know that you are ascending, but it's also living beyond that duality, but living beyond the mental plane. So for you, it's going to be less figuring out and more experiencing, more expressing. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. See, there's been an interesting thing, and I'm not saying that this it totally applies to you. I think just overall, we've had this saying about being a human being and not a human doing. But the thing is, we incarnated to do. we there's a balance between, you've got to figure that out in your head, what the beingness is, your beingness, and that you are what you are, you know, a spiritual being. How are you going to express that? And the soul is all about expression and experience. So I would even say to people, look up the word expression, experience. That's, we're here to express ourselves as divine spiritual beings, or soul beings, as the vibrational and energetic frequency that we are. And we're just here to share that. And what is that's love? You know, we're here to love. So in a way, I feel we're going to be unlearning a lot of the dogmas that we were taught, a lot of the beliefs, even karma, moving beyond karma and into grace, it moving into direct transmissions of information, of insight, of energetic healing, moving into the feeling level where we're getting that transmission of energy. We do that in the show. A lot of people feel that energy coming through. It's living more from that space. There still is obviously our purpose, our soul purpose. There still is all of that, and the work that we're meant to do as light workers, as star seeds, the seeding we're meant to do. But we're not meant to forget that we are that. We are that which we seek. We are that already, and it's about living that awareness. Yeah, great question, Annalisa.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Blessings to you. Bye. Yeah, I would suggest, how can you ask yourself, how can you live more of your beingness? Where can you express that? Where can you experience your beingness? Where and how can you express it? It's, I'm telling you, the next few years, especially, well, 2016, but I would say really that 2020 to 2025, I think people will feel it between 2013 and 2016 also, but things are more informed between 2020 and 2025, but the big wake up is people are going to be, you know, it's like doing the serious quote unquote work. It's, you know, maybe it's raising amazing children and you know, spiritual beings and being so present for them. You know, maybe it's kind of the Doctors Without Borders or you know, gardening, you know, maybe raising awareness of organic gardens, you know, stopping cruelty to animals, rescuing animals. There's all of that. There's all of that. But we have to start moving into the space of seeing the perfection unfolding and of feeling and seeing the love that is there amidst the imperfection and seeing that with all this seriousness, all this stuff that we have to do, all the changes, you know, consciousness raising, all the healing, all that we're doing, that there is also a part that it's just about being.
And recognizing the perfection in everyone and you.
Yeah, yeah.
And recognizing that. It's really important to recognize. We are perfect. We are.
The thing is, every person, every situation on the planet, you can trace back to a thought form and to a vibrational frequency. So everything that is here right now is birthed from a configuration of energy that you could say is a way of the all that is expressing or knowing itself. Every aspect of the conflict to come to harmony, come to resolution, to come to harmony. When we no longer have those, not only the thought forms, but the energetic feelings and feeling tones, certain things will just disappear. They will no longer be there, whether the thought, whether the situation. People ask me that a lot about crime. Well, we have these things because that's been playing out. As soon as it's no longer present energetically, it will no longer be there in as a thought form and in the etheric realm, in the astral realm, emotionally. There will be no component for that. There will be no physical manifestation. Yeah, Tamara put, how do I love best? That helps me. Well, yeah, because sometimes people think, oh, it's an aberration, you know. You can't have on any of the dimensions what hasn't been birthed metaphysically, meaning energetically. It's a configuration. Somehow there's a configuration that gets constructed or born of itself, of the knowing, and then there is a complement, or as we know on this dimension, an opposite. We're moving back into complements. So that's why any kind of emotional clearing or repatterning, but anything that gets to the emotional, the energy in motion, and then the sensing, the feeling, once all those feelings are harmonized, these opposites don't have to exist. These extremes, not only don't they have to exist, they won't exist. It's beyond the mental plane. It's not that we're putting them there. It's beyond us. It's vibrational. It's energetic. Tamara saying, yes, recognize the perfection within everyone. Love that, Paulo. Yeah, it is beautiful. And service. I'm so glad that, that Tamara's talking about service in the chat room. The service, stepping into your gifts, being of service, I'm telling you, it's gotten me out of more pickles in the earlier part of my past, especially. I mean,
and getting out of pickles are important.
Yeah.
You know, there was a beautiful experience I had at Mother's Ashram, where she was in back of her ashram. She had a little house, and by the little, her house is a little lake. It's not that little, but it's little.
Right.
And she has these beautiful kings, drakes, swans. And I went out there one night in this kind of a neurotic full moon night. And I went out there and I saw her, and she motioned to come, and she said, here. And she said, hold out your hand. And she put some grains in my palm of my hand and said, bow down and feed the swans. And it was a form of bhakti, it was a form of ultimate service. You give yourself totally to serve. And it was such a beautiful expression.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, what are the pickle? Yeah, it's, kind of rising to the occasion, you know, being, I think one of the greatest gifts that we have is not only being present in ourselves, our own life, but when we can be present for someone else. That's really amazing. You know, that's really, it's a divine gift. You know? Oh, Sync 31, I love what they're saying. I'm finding that so many things are happening to bring lower vibrations to light with safer space to work on oneself. Yeah, that's a good point. All is coming to light. That's another way to look at it. Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting too, and Annalisa, if you have a comment on this, I think you're still listening, the late 80s, that ascension, that was not math. See, this is why, and I love this, and I've been posting this and talking about this. This awakening, a lot of people say, oh, it happened just 2010, 2011, the Great Awakening. No, it's been happening for a very long, long time with a select few that have been living from this space. What's now starting to happen is it's getting more mainstream. It's even getting in our, you know, pop culture. That's because the next step is it's going to be in our forms. It needs to be infused in our forms, and that's, you know, relationship forms, legislation forms, institutions, schools, whatever, you know. So it's not going to get there by 8 or 10% having that awareness, you know, or the fringe people or the metaphysicians or spiritualists or, you know, whatever. Those conscious people focused on that. The seed is needed, but if it's not, you know, if those roots aren't allowed to expand, then it doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't take root. One thing I would ask yourself at this time is what do you want? What can you release? What can you, even if it's something you think I need to do or I need to focus on and I want, but it's not happening, see how you can put it to one side or just let it be. And see what keeps coming up in your mind or getting presented to you. And see, how can I anchor that more? How can I bring that more into existence? Because the other is coming more from the personality or the ego. The latter is coming more from the soul, you know. I'm not sure, Paulo, have you any thoughts on that?
Well, I do. My thoughts run to that. It's almost like you are manifesting, you are part of this. We are all moving into the light, and you may not recognize how you are contributing. And yes, if you are contributing on this level of working out something on the ego level, then that's where you are working on, but it's not the major part of the whole connection. You are also part of the connection that is moving into the light. So it, to me, it's like I may be doing this right now, but that doesn't disconnect me. So if I'm doing this, I'm doing this for me or my ego, for someone else's service, any number of things, but it's all still that one movement upward. And we need to know and recognize that those moments that come together where we're in sync with ourselves, which can be very few when it's conscious, but it's becoming more. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more. And we are all recognizing this. It's almost like a new animal. If you see this new animal, I saw this bird once in India, and it was an amazing species of bird. It made such an impact on me. But pretty soon I ran into a village where there were all those kind of birds, and I'm going, now I know. Oh, because I had seen that bird, I was aware of the many birds. And it's like if you're aware of the light inside of someone else, you're aware of your light.
Oh, that's beautiful, Paulo. I love that. That's so true. Yeah. Wow. If you're aware of the light in someone else, you're aware of your... If you're aware of your light, you're aware of someone else's, you know?
Yes.
So Marley Kay is saying, that's good, Michelle, but I'm so tense and anxious. I'm having a hard time putting that aside, even when I'm not focusing consciously on what's worrying me. I hear you. That's where I feel the tools, spiritual tools and support. And sometimes that's the spiritual tools, yoga, movement, sitting with it. I'm telling you, there's the video with the meditation, the ascension attunement. The guides gave me this last year. And it really, really, it's on, I'm going to put it in the chat, it's on YouTube. So it's the ascension attunement, and it is an attuning that moves you out of the fear. And it's Light Beam 21. So it's YouTube, the ascension attunement, ascension meditation. It's, ascension attunement, ascension alignment, and it's YouTube. Light Beam 21 / Light Beam 21. Part of the reason that you're feeling this is because we're clearing the astral plane, where our emotional body connects into the astral plane. It's all those old thought forms, shadows. It's the uncertainty. It's And Todd is saying, and wine. Yeah, wine is nice, but do some clearing first. Because let me tell you, you can shift to a certain level, and I don't care if you drink a barrel of it; it isn't going to help. What starts happening is there's no more buzz. There just is what you're trying to get away from. So, the tears, I would let yourself cry. I would go let the tears come. And really what you want to do is you want to move into what you don't want to experience. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but what will begin to happen is what we think is the opposite, but the complementary will start coming in. See, we don't need to do this when we're feeling joy or peace or calm. We don't need to connect into the opposite. The opposite is always there. The complementary is always there. But when it blends, that's also what the form of meditation is. When it blends or harmonizes, you always get into that still point, that inner peace, that inner calm. It's when we're resisting or not wanting to feel what's there. And the thing is to move into it. When I do the ascension attunement, I literally lean into it. The feeling or whatever I'm not wanting to feel, or the anxiety, whatever is coming up, whether it's my stuff or if I'm feeling it around me, or I know someone else is going through it and I keep thinking about it, I keep coming back to it or playing it in my head, I will do the ascension attunement and just move into it. Just allow yourself to move into it. So it's instead of moving away from something, it's moving into it. It's allowing what is. That's another way to look at it. It's allowing what is to be there. So this week, Awakening Conversation is with astrologer Gail Powell, also known as Divine Mystic. She's a professional intuitive astrologer and finally jewelry designer. Her approach to astrology is through the eyes of psychology, archetypes, spiritual growth, and intuitive guidance. She studied astrology for more than 30 years and uses it as a tool for herself and her clients. And her focus in helping others is to understand the challenges, tensions, and magic alive in their natal charts. Very amazing way to do a reading, if I must say so. Hello, welcome to Awakenings. Let's see. Gail, I don't see you on air. Let's see. Gail, I see her in the chat. Are you online? Okay. Just when I thought all was going smoothly, it's all right. We've got quite a few people, so I'm waiting for her to come online, and she's been on before. Let's see, 818, no, not there yet. So, Gail, are you online? Divine Mystic, I see you, but I don't see you in the queue. Let's see. Okay, well, I'll just wait. We've got a Skype caller. Well, we'll get to calls then. We've got a Skype call. So, Gail, waiting for you to get on air. And let's see, another call. And let's see, take another call. Todd, going to take another call while we wait for Gail to get on air. Hi, 951-760, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, I'm calling in. I don't know if this is a reading call or show, or is this just for listening?
It's all of it. It's all
okay.
of it.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
Let's see. Yeah, just not really. I mean, can it be general? Can it be open, or do you need a specific question?
Well, we want you invested, so do you have a specific? I just picked up on you because you had pressed one on the keypad. But if
yeah.
you don't have a question, that's okay, too.
Do you see, like, I need to move in the near future, and I just wanted to see what came up around that area as far as living condition or living situation.
You want to move, but you're not sure yet where.
Exactly.
Also, I'm getting. Yeah, that's what I'm getting. You don't know where yet. And so that means it's not time.
Right.
Yeah. I feel you've got a ways. It could even be towards the end of the. You think it's going to be right away?
No, not right away.
Oh, good. Showing to make. It's showing more of a move. I feel physical move. There needs to be a mental move, an emotional move, a move of your mindset. Does that make sense to you? You need to kind of.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not the locale. It's the mind.
Yeah.
So see what you can do to mentally move.
That's true. I can
tell
you that.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it's showing actually where you are is the right place. I don't know. I see stretching out, reaching out for emotional movement, releasing, and mental movement.
Right.
You
that
know?
Would probably be beneficial.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
so
I'm living with somebody now. I mean, I just don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if we should stay together or if there's, you know, any chance of, you know, of us having a future. That's probably why, you know, that's probably the question I should have asked, because that would involve the move if we weren't meant to be together.
Well, you need, and that's true for a lot of people in relationship, you know, if you're really doing what you need, unless it's violent, unless there's, you know, abuse and stuff. That's
no,
the thing. No, I know that. But if you're usually I find when people are trying to change the other person or they're feeling stuck or stagnant, it's something they need to do for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel with you. I feel you need to get your life going, get it dynamic again.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need new input, new insights.
Right.
For you, it's really emotional movement, emotional releasing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm on fire, Marley Singh. You know what? The energy. Thanks for calling. No, what it is? No joke. You're welcome. No joke. I'm going to be this way with myself, with everyone. You know, I get the boot up the old booty by my guides and teachers that I work with. So this is not a snooze year, and if you don't. You know, if people are powdering people's ego and not telling them what really needs to be said, you're only going to get munched in this energy. You think it's intense now and anxiety provoking. At least when you're doing, when you're on path or you're getting the support, you're doing what you need to do, not only do you have hope, but you kind of flow more with the universe. You know, this is definitely not an energy pattern that's coming in or that's here and coming in more and more. That we want to be playing the games that we were, you know, other times. It's just a little suggestion. Okay, I think we've got Gail here. Again, as I said at the top of the program and at the halfway point, Divine Mystic, she's also known as, and you can connect with her at divinemystic.com. She is an amazing astrologer, very gifted and insightful. All right. Gail, welcome to the program.
Yes, I, oh, hey. Hi. I'm so glad, to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Always great to have you on. We love having you on the program. And Paulo's on air also, I think.
Oh, so. That's awesome.
Hello.
Hi, Paulo. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you.
I would like to say something about what you said at the very beginning of opening of this program, to go right into astrology with that, and then we can go wherever you want with it. This energy is very interesting right now with the Uranian energy in Aries, and it's very electrical, and you have to think of it as like kind of energy, and it's very electrical, and with it being in Aries, it's all about, you know, establishing and wanting the need to be number one. So it's an electrical intensification of the way we need to think in order to be efficient right now, with it being going back to the Mars in Virgo right now that we have, because Aries goes back to Mars and how our imp, you know, being used. And this planet has slowed down. It's getting ready to go retrograde right now. And so it just is not business as usual at all.
And will this, so you're saying, so it's kind of, which dovetails with me with that moving forward on your soul gifts or your individuation, your electrical being, electromagnetic being that we are, we're meant to kind of move forward or front and center. What's happening, now you said it's slowing down because Mars is going retrograde?
Right, it's going retrograde on January 23rd. I think that's this Monday coming up, depending on exactly where you are in the world. But as far as specific daylight time, it's going to be going retrograde at 4:54 in the p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it starts to slow down, you know, because Mars is your emperor energy. It's what gets you out there. It's the male energy that really is the driving force behind taking action. And with it being in Virgo, right there you've got an earth and a fire going on, because Virgo wants to be practical and Mars just wants to get it done. Just get out of my way and let me get it done. And Virgo's saying, no, we have to think this through. You know, we have to take some time. We have to be practical. And Mars just isn't totally comfortable with that. And so with the going back to the electrical Uranian energy and the electrical intensification of the need to be number one and everybody finding their own individualization to come together as a group, and the groups coming together now as this rebellion is starting to build, because the individual is really feeling the need to be an individual and to be number one and to not get lost in the group anymore, yet they need to be a part of this group. So
wow.
As Mars slows down, there's going to be less forward drive, less, you know, less momentum and possible delays. And we're already starting to feel this. I mean, nothing just isn't exact at one moment.
Okay. Now, what's interesting, will this continue? Because you're saying it's Uranus and Aries energy. So will this continue, this kind of, you know, being a part of the group but moving forward in, or up front in your life, will this be continuing for a while, Gail, or is it just this year?
No. This is going to be continuing for quite a while now. This is the new way of life.
It's
absolutely a new way of life. And Uranus is going to be in Aries. I'll have to look this up really quick, but it's going to be in Aries through...
long time. It's in there, what, 7 years?
Yeah, I think it's like 2017 or 2018. Yeah, 2018. Like May of 2018, we'll be done with this. So we're really, really rebuilding ourselves as individuals during this time. And with, you know, because Mars goes through signs about every 2.5 months or so. So that switches up. You know, whatever sign Mars is going to be in is going to affect how we're dealing with this individualization. And it can really build rebellion in groups that we're already seeing. People coming together and wanting to be treated fair with Saturn and Libra. Things have not been fair and things have not been balanced. And the individuals are realizing this now, and they're not going to put up with it anymore. And it's only going to grow.
It is only going to grow. Okay. That's what I thought.
It's only going to grow. It could change in Murph. There you
Murph,
go.
Murph. Well, all of it. It will turn into Murph. That's the idea. Smurfs.
Yeah, it's smurfing, all right. We're smirking, and it's kind of like happening in gulps, you know. We're like gulping in this new energy and this new, you know, type of vibration, and then we gulp in another one, and it's just happening so fast.
Mm. And Marty's putting in the chat, Marley, power struggles. I would say outer and inner. Outer and inner.
Because, yeah, well, here's the interesting thing about astrology. When you look at an astrology chart, you have a vertical line that is showing you the 10th and the 4th house angles, which is as above and so below, and as below, so above. So when you look at this, you're looking at the individual out in the world, the public persona that they see, the opposite end of that is the below, what's at the very core and the foundation of that individual. Then you cross it with a horizontal line that is whatever is without is also within. So whatever is going on within the individual is going to be mirrored in the outside world with other people. Now you have the opposites of your first and seventh house, which is the individual and others in their life. So it's very interesting. Horoscopes are just with using symbols to show the needs that we have.
The need that you have.
Yes, all of our horoscopes are showing us, are just symbols that show us the needs that we have. Like the moon is the reigning need of the whole horoscope. It has to be met. You know, the Saturn is your need for ambition. Venus is the need to be loved. It's all of those. And then where these are at, what signs they're in, and how they're aspected just show us how it's manifesting and what these needs are. And it's really the same thing that's going on in the stars above, in the transits and the horoscopes that we're looking at on a daily basis. It's the same thing. It's just reflecting what's going on as we are here on Earth. The stars are just reflecting this. They're not doing anything to us. It's just a mirror.
Yes, it is just a mirror itself. Now, can you talk about, and I want to bring this up because we touched on it the other day and I thought it would be great, the idea of the undoing or redoing or reworking in relationships. And is that with the Mars retrograde or Venus retrograde? What is, because I know 2012, I mean, we're in this right livelihood, right relationship alignment since 2009, but it seems like 2012, there is a lot about relationship. There's a lot about, you know, relationship to oneself, but people, personal, business. What did you mean by that, Gail, that undoing, redoing, reworking? How is that happening?
Saturn in Libra is causing all of us to be forced to look at all of our relationships, and we are in the last 10 degrees of that sign. It's closing itself out, and we need to be learning what we're learning about them. So that's really intensified. And with Mars and Venus representing the male and the female in the individual chart and also out in the outer world energy, Mars is the male energy and Venus is the female energy. They're both getting ready to go retrograde one after the other. So this is going to give us a chance to rethink, redo, rework our relationships with ourselves and with others. And to start with Mars retrograde, which starts on Monday the 23rd and will end on April 13th, it's going to be absolutely a time to rework actions that we've taken in the past, projects that we've started, our relationships, or to redo them, start them in a different, going down a different avenue, like we know that avenue's not working. So now we have to take it in a new direction. So how do we redo this? Or people will just be completely undoing them.
And that, from what you see astrologically, kind of the overriding trend, why is that happening? What is that about?
It's like magic for us to be able to see what's working in our lives and what is not working and what's representing who we are at the core of our being and what's not working and what have we been living with that's not true to who we are, and all of this can't continue. And this is working in a synergy of the whole chart. This is just not one transit.
Oh, okay. So it's not one transit.
No. This is a complete synergy of us working and walking into a new paradigm and a new way of being. And it's just
so
like a master plan. Okay, first you have to put the grist to the mill of Libra and Saturn in Libra and learning, you know, to, what's the word I'm thinking of here? Creating the need, you know, to for society to do things a different way, to learn how to be in relationships, to how to be fair, how do we give and take. And where that hasn't been working before has now been in our face for, you know, almost 2 years now. And so now we're going to go and we're going to take the planets that rule relationships, and now we're going to retrograde them. They go more often. But right now this is what's happening for us. Now they're going to go retrograde, and we're going to get to rethink and redo and rework or undo what we did since the last time it went retrograde. That's how retrogrades always work. And the planets don't really go backwards. It just appears that way from the way that this, from the way that our orb is with them.
So we've got Mars coming in. Right, what should people do to, what will help them with these two major retrogrades, Mars going retrograde and Venus going retrograde?
Mars retrograde is going to maybe cause you to turn left when you wanted to turn right, or it might cause to have some delays so that other things can be put in place before you can actually move forward, but you don't know about them yet. If there's really a lot of gifts here, you just have to really work with it. There's going to be a different beat and a different pace to how it normally operates during this time. And so you have to really have a really good plan of what you want to accomplish and allow things to flow and, you know, be at this different pace, but still continue to do what you want to do with your plan. With, but it needs to be really well planned, and there needs to be good details to it right now.
So some planning is important.
Yes. Planning is absolutely important through Mars retrograde in Virgo.
Okay. And then I wanted to ask you also, because we've got that, I think it's going to be more exact, that the Uranus and Aries, that square.
That's going to be really big. The one thing I want to say about that is you've got to stop and think about this planet of this electrical intensification. We're back to Uranus again in Aries. So you've got this, you know, this electrical energy going. That's all I can. And then you've got Mars that is, I mean, you've got Pluto, which is in Capricorn, which is absolute nothing but change. Nothing is the same after Pluto touches it unless such controls are put in place with the wounding that will not allow it. But Uranus breaks everything free, and it breaks it loose, and it's a square. And so a square creates a block that things have to be done new ways. The new individual can no longer give up its power to the people in power and not have boundaries and controls in place.
So we've got to you've got to find that midpoint, right, of breaking free, or what is breaking free, but what is called to reinforce or bring back together, I guess.
Yes, it's all going to be made new, and it's going, you know, this with this time frame, I'm going to tell you exactly, hold on a second, let me get that paper. It's going to be very, very powerful. We're going to start feeling it because it's only going to be like 1 degrees away in May, but in June, we're going to be at these exact degrees, and that paper's kind of just walked off somewhere. But through June through September, we're going to have absolutely 2 direct hits of it being the same exact degree. So like starting like June 6th, it's going to be at the same degree, but it's going to be exact like June 23rd, June 24th. And then that energy goes till July 10th. And then it comes back again on August 20th. And it is exact again on September 18th. So this goes until October 1st. And any kind of transit, even though it's not the same exact degree again, it's going to be the same degrees basically from June 6th to October 1st. And it's, we've already felt this twice, but this is going to be exact, and this is going to be intensified a lot because now it's exact. So anybody that's got numbers at these 7 and 8 degrees is going to really feel this in their life.
Mm. And what is it meant to be doing? So we're feeling it. What is it calling us to do?
It's calling us to individualize, become ourselves, step into our power, and no longer give our power away to authorities who don't deserve it.
Okay.
And that could be on so many levels. I mean, as an individual and as a collective, it works.
Mm-hmm. And I would say even within, because what are those maybe old beliefs or things that have been pushing you, you know, maybe not having the old inner critic inside or the judgmental part, you know.
That has to break down. It's got to be destroyed because Capricorn rules Saturn, and Saturn's where this critical, just like the teacher comes in, has to be very critical to make sure you do a good job. But we, at the core of our being, we are perfect, and we can't continue to be critical over something that's beautiful and perfect. And we've got to see this incredible faceted gem that we all are at the core and bring it out and start doing the work we came here to do.
Yeah. It's funny. I keep going. It's like the cosmic joke. I don't know if somebody's moving around on air. Paulo, is that you? Would you like to be?
No, I'm not moving.
Oh, you're not? Okay. I don't know. I don't know, little gremlin from the beginning. Even at least the echo is gone. But I put in the chat, it's like the cosmic joke that we come back to ourselves and loving and honoring ourselves, you know, that we're okay. It seems like it keeps coming back to that, you know.
Well, it is, and as soon as this is over, Saturn goes into Scorpio October 5th, and it's not going to go back into Libra. And that is going to really create power struggles. And during this time, in the very beginning of it, it's going to be very powerful because they are going to aspect each other. Saturn and Pluto are going to be in mutual reception, and that means that Saturn's going to be in Scorpio, which is, you know, the sign that rules Pluto, and Pluto's in Capricorn, the sign that rules Saturn. So it's almost like it's going to be very, very powerful during this time, and there's going to be power struggles within the individual and outside that there's a need to transform and die and rebirth ourselves during this time.
I like that. So it is a kind of rebirthing.
Yeah. And it's going to create a need for society and their ambitions. It's a need to purge, die, and transform, Michelle. And Pluto in Capricorn creates the need for change so that all beings can get their rewards and feel appreciated. We're going to recognize who we are at the core and at the structure of our foundation by the time this is done.
Oh, I love this. So, wow. The recognition, the validation, the connecting in with who we really are. Wow, I love that.
Yeah, and here's the thing with mutual reception. I kind of think of it like wearing a white shirt to go eat spaghetti. Because sooner or later, you got your white shirt and spaghetti mixed, you know. They just can't.
Always, that's me.
Yeah, and so when you think of it like that, and they're in mutual reception, they just can't end up helping going and getting together and having a mix happen.
So maybe we all should relax a bit, not take it too seriously, and just know it's going to get mixy-mushy, you know. Everything's going
to
kind of...
Here's the thing to back up what you were saying when I came on air about your teachers and what's being said to all of us now. We are walking a very fine line. We are walking a very narrow road. Our really wide road path that we are walking has now narrowed to a very narrow path. And on one side is a 1,000-foot cliff straight up, and on the other side is a 1,000-foot cliff straight down. We don't have a lot of room for error right now. And if we don't do the work that we came here to do right now and get ourselves together and know and get new perspectives about who we are, this Saturn in Pluto is going to be harsh reality.
Yeah. Feels like that, very exacting. Okay, we'll get to phone calls. Those that want to know a little bit more about Gail, her astrology, her readings, as well as her sacred jewelry, she's got jewelry, major, beautiful, I call it empowerment jewelry. Her website is divinemystic.com. You're also on Facebook, Gail, too. Is it under Gail
yes.
Powell or Divine? Okay, under Gail
well,
Powell.
They can go to either one.
Okay, and again, the website is divinemystic.com. A call-in number for readings to get on air, to chat, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. I would say if there's exact questions, personal, you know, that means you have to do a chart, best to contact Gail at divinemystic.com. Otherwise, if you have questions that fit in with the overall topic and where we're going with this, that could obviously relate to you, but that everybody could be a part of, definitely.
Oh, hold on. My coffee machine just blew up.
Go get it. Go get it.
Oh, my God.
I did that this morning.
Sorry,
oh, that's
very
Pluto.
Sorry.
That's Pluto.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I couldn't enjoy that one.
That was that's what I'm talking about.
I guess
about
that was a confirmation.
Saturn, okay.
Saturn,
you know,
what
I recently found out some information that I think applies to what you've been saying.
I think that was a definite confirmation.
About the monument in Washington. The obelisk, whatever it's called, due to the earthquake in the west or the east, there's been a crack at the top of the monument.
Whoa.
And it kind of signifies how things are going. There's these cracks that are these fissures that are creating from what we call powerful places, powerful people. There's cracks, there's fissures. And it's kind of all, you know, the mixture is kind of coming together. It's breaking down.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
let's
the interesting thing, one
call.
Thing.
Go ahead.
Before we take callers, I want to talk about Neptune going into Pisces. And that's going to happen February 3rd. And that's really pretty much the last big player that we have going on this year. Because you can drown in Neptune and Pisces. And if you think about it like being like a blurp, blurp, you know, like going underneath the water, and it's like a weakening of the barrier separating conscious from unconscious and the ego from the soul, and idealism can get in the way of life during this time. So it's really a time that we're going to have to go beyond ego and learning to trust and reconnect with the higher self without losing our personality. Because there can be a lot of bewilderment and confusion and escapism, you know, and it wants to merge. And sometimes boundaries can be a problem during this time. But it's also a time we can be very visionary and compassionate, artistic, romantic, you know, and have intuitive awarenesses.
Yeah, that merging, that goes back to that empath call about being empathetic. Okay,
right.
Let's see. 718-272, hello, welcome, you're on Awakenings.
Hello?
Yes, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, okay, there was an incident in my family, and I like
what's
to
your
know,
first
okay,
name?
I'm trying to, Celine, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay,
Celine.
Yes, and I was. My question is about a change of residence. Do you see me relocating?
Oh, it's more, okay, so we're kind of shifted, we're in astrology, but I'll answer that real quick. I don't feel right away. You need to start looking. Have you been looking?
Yes, I have.
Okay, did you just start looking?
Recently, yeah.
Yeah. I would say you're going to have more on that probably May, June, but you probably won't make the change until after the summer months.
After what month, you said?
Summer months.
Oh, the summer months, you said. Okay, so not even temporarily?
You might temporarily, but I feel like you're wanting to reestablish, so you're really going to be looking for some place that you can stay more permanently. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so what about Kat? Kat Bray?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Awakenings. You're on air with our guest, Gail Powell.
So can I ask a question, like what's coming down the pike for me, or?
There's really no way to tell that without having your chart.
Yeah.
Unless you want to do something psychically for you.
Yeah, you'd really have to get, you know, your whole chart or, could you see that in the chart, Gail, with progressions? How would you see what's
actually,
coming
solar
up?
Solar arcs are really, I've been really learning about solar arcs because solar arcs, there's nothing that happens significant in a life without a solar arc touching a sun, moon, or an angle in the chart or the ruler of an angle. So that's where I look for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also see what the energies are happening in a chart, but it doesn't really predict the future. It just tells you what energies you'll be working with. What you choose to do with that is your free will.
Okay, that's interesting. So, yeah, if you have specific questions for Gail astrologically, you'd need to go to divinemystic.com and get a personal reading, a personal session. The readings we do, the channel guidance, that's 12 to 12:45. Oh, one question I did have on the solar arc, and this last caller, Kat Bray, kind of brought it up of what's coming up. So you're saying these solar arcs, they show what the energy that's coming in. What is a solar arc, I guess, and how is that used in the chart, I guess?
You know, it's a measurement that's actually more precise than progressions. It's
okay.
The same kind of thing where each planet moves forward a year. So you can actually see what the spiritual development is in the chart. And there is absolutely, like I said, nothing significant that happens in a person's life without one of those being involved.
Okay. And
so
what
like
did you tell?
It's like a progression, but it's actually showing, like you can see what's happened in the past. Like if you got married, something's going to be showing there, or if you got a divorce, or if you had a child, or those kinds of things are going to show, and it's pretty good at timing.
Mm-hmm. And when you say energy coming in, it shows the energies that are coming in.
What happens with something like that is what is happening in our life is not always what it's about. So we have to look deeper. We have to look at what is really what's happening in my life about. In other words, if my husband's having an affair and I'm focusing on the affair, then that's not really what it's about in my life. What it's about in my life is how did I get in a relationship that I'm not being shown enough respect. You see what I'm trying to say? And the chart
right.
can show you this. The chart shows you what's at the core level needs for that individual and where they've been wounded or where they've been, you know, misled or have misunderstandings that need to be, that they've been challenged, and there's developmental tensions that need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. It always kind of goes back to the energy, doesn't it? It really goes
Absolutely.
Back to the energy of what's
so we're just
happening.
Being given at different times to learn different lessons, and it's really never about the other person. It's about us.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of relationship, let's go back because you brought on it about bringing it back to us. This Venus retrograde, we talked a
yeah,
bit about Mars.
We didn't touch on that too much.
Yeah,
yeah, Venus retrograde is very interesting because Venus is really about building a network of supportive emotional bonds. And it's also about personal resources, and it is also about relationships as well. So with it going retrograde, there could be doubts and worries. You know, is everyone going to get along? Is everybody going to like me? Who's truly supporting me now? Because it's in Gemini, so it's going to involve others.
Mm.
And you could have feelings of being shy, non-social. You could feel withdrawn. And you're going to be rethinking your worth to yourself and others. And some of us are going to be really mentally stretched to embrace a new reality about us and our resources and how you know, we can make money and how to take steps to have that happen. And it's really going to show the truth of some, you know, the relationships and why we have them for high or low.
Mm-hmm. I am finding that too right now. There's a real, you know, nudge, and even a pull to be around those that, you know, I call them the soul pods, but really the soul tribe, those that really get you. It's not about Xing anybody out, but like you're saying here, the support. And, of course, a retrograde, you're going to have people review, right, look and see what's working, what's not working, and where is the support. I always say, you know, find, not in your immediate circle, find it, create it. Now, Gail, that's interesting. In Gemini, so that's bringing also the idea of communication and diversity. How do you see it affecting our communication or our various
forms? Well, first of all, Earth and Air don't really like each other too much either. So, you know, because Earth likes to, like, feel good. I mean, Venus is all about good food, good times, you know, sensuality, enjoying the moment. It's Aphrodite, and now you put it in Gemini, which is like runs a little bit over here and gets information or runs it over there and gets a little bit of information. And that's not really what Venus likes to do. So now it's going to be in Air. So we're going to have to mentally rethink and understand to take better steps for our resources, how we earn money, how we show love, how we give love, who we give it to, all of that.
Where we give, say that again, where we give love.
Where we give love to, yeah, who we're giving love to, how we're loving ourselves, how we're handling our resources, are we making the most of them? What are our resources? We could rethink what our resources are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find this year, 2012, is really, it's a major prep year. Energetically, yeah, there's the challenges. At some levels, I don't feel it's going to be as challenging as 2011, but I definitely feel people, it's a get real year, you know?
Like, it is a real get year, and
yeah,
a lot of people that have felt victimized are going to be really dealing with that when Venus is retrograde, and they're going to come out fighting.
And I would say,
Mars is retrograde, a lot of people are going to be feeling like they need to give to others and they need to do more, you know, and so it's going to be interesting to watch these kind of energies. Now, these charts that I'm reading for these are in the West Coast, so I'm not sure for the whole world, but us on the West Coast here should really, like, we could pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. But there would still be the retrogrades, though, right?
Absolutely, retrograde,
yeah.
Yes. And wherever they fall in your chart, you will be redoing, rethinking, reworking, undoing, all of that.
Hmm. And I would say, I don't know your take on this. I want to get your take that in that prep, it's almost like going to on a journey. Well, we've all been on this journey. Let's say we've all been traveling either around the world, or let's say we're in Europe. And anybody that's done extensive traveling, you know that at some point you realize you either need to get some things locally, maybe you need to send home, or you're going to stay longer. Did you bring enough clothes? Did you bring the right clothes? Did you change? If you've ever traveled a lot or lived in another country, I know I have, my tastes change. You get a different energy. The energy is different, so you get a different vibe. So the clothes that you brought, maybe some of them don't work, don't fit. It's not you anymore. It's not the vibe. So what I'm hearing from you in this, Gail, is it kind of seems like this Venus-Mars retrograde puts everyone in that. You know, am I going to alter my routine? Does it really still suit me? You know, where do I want to put my energy? How? What's important
all
to
of
me?
That.
Yeah,
all of that. Your taste could completely shift during this time. And you know, where you really want to put your attention and how you need to be loved.
Mm.
People are really going to start to come into the truth of that if they're so inclined during this time. I mean, anybody can just put their head in the sand and not pay attention, but I know the one thing, it is definitely not a time to get married. It is not a time to start a new marriage during Venus retrograde, because you are going away from each other instead of coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really
and this
important.
Retrograde,
and
the Mars and the Venus, when are those over? They're starting, I think,
okay,
Mars
so
is
Mars,
starting at the end of January.
Mars starts on the 23rd and it goes to April 13th, and Venus goes retrograde on May 15th, and it ends on June 27th. So all those people getting married in June, this type of a marriage with Venus retrograde, with people being pulled away from each other, are the kinds that end up in divorce where they're just fighting over everything. And I'm not predicting that for everybody. But
and you said Mars retro January to when is it? To May?
April 13th. Friday, April 13th.
Okay. Interesting. Good to know. People can look up that. Gail, this has been great.
It should be a really romantic Valentine's Day with Neptune going into Pisces this year. That will be fun to watch.
Oh.
You know, and the styles and everything could start to change with all this. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think so. I think, and that they're both retro at the same time in this tight container. You know, it's really going to be that reviewing, refocusing. You know,
it's really we're being gifts to create magic in our life, and that's really how we need to think about it.
Love it, love it. Gail, thank you so much for being on the program. Always love to have you here sharing. Again, our guest has been Gail Powell, Divine Mystic. You can connect with her at divinemystic.com. And as always, great to connect with everyone.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Great to connect with all you wonderful beings in the chat. And Paulo, always great to connect with you as well.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, next week, next Wednesday, Paulo and I will be on for the full time doing readings, meditation, channeling, healing, answering questions, chatting, just general us and with you, all of us. But we're also going to complete the focus of the energies of 2012 as well. And we'll be doing this throughout, actually, throughout the whole year of where we're going, kind of the forecast, the weather report, 2012 and beyond. Because we've got a lot of changes in 2013, a lot of energetic changes in 2012, a lot of more, I would say, foundational changes 2013 and on, 2013 to 2016, and then, of course, at 2015 to 2020, and then 2020 to 25, there's a lot of more changes in form, more institutionalized changes. So great to see you all, connect with you all, feel your wonderful energy. I hope you felt some of the transmission energy as well. Like us on Facebook, connect with us on Facebook, and share your pictures of earthing any way you can. I know in a lot of places it's kind of cold, maybe freezing, but love to see pictures of the listener participants there. So it'd be great to have your images. I posted a couple there, me earthing, and then Yosh earthing too. I'm gonna post some more. But really, it's your show. We're all co-creating it together. And that Facebook page is Facebook / Michelle Mache. Let's see, any other things we need to know. Oh, awakenings@selfenlight.com is the email for questions, comments, and guest suggestions. And we'll see you next week, next Wednesday. Until then, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake. Let's end with a little Bliss by Yogini. And a little follow laugh.
I was just thinking, Yoshi is really an earthling. She's so close to the earth.
Oh, because she's so low. That's true. See you on the other side.
Oh, definitely.